And before we get started in our text today, I do want to take time to thank Pastor Foster. Thank you, sir, for allowing me this opportunity to be able to preach and preach God's word, as that is something I do not want to take for granted. And I want to thank y'all as a church. I've said this in Sunday school, but with the whole church in here, I want to thank y'all just for your hospitality and how kind you've been to me just for these past few days being here. And I want to thank you for the Timothy Project. And you may say, well, you know, Pastor put that together, but I think Pastor would agree that without the faithfulness of the church, the Timothy Project would not still be here. It would not be what it is today. So I do thank y'all so very much. Thank you for the hospitality of the Curleys, allowing me to stay there, and faithful members. Just thank y'all. And I hope I can serve and be much a blessing to y'all as y'all have been to me so far these past few days. But our text is Haggai chapter number 1. If you would, please, we'll start in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 11. And it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring the wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." So what's going on in this passage? Why is God's judgment coming down upon the nation of Israel here? If you would, go back with me and look at verses 9 and 10, and you'll see the answer to that. It says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it." That word blow, by the way, means to puff, to blow or breathe, give up, cause to lose. So the language here is showing that God's power, all it takes is just a little puff, and all their works comes to nothing. But continue reading here, it says, "I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts?" Now catch this, "because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." So why did God blow upon all that the people did? Because they ran into their own houses while the Lord's was in waste. God blew upon all that the people did because they built up their own houses to the neglect of the Lord's. See, there was nothing wrong with them having nice homes. It was the fact that they built nice homes while the Lord's was not built at all. That was sin. You see, when the people did not put the building of God's house before the building up of their own, he removed his blessings upon them. But when they obeyed and they started building the temple, God once again brought his blessings into their lives. Now, God was not trying to tear down the nation of Israel. He wasn't trying to destroy all their work just out of malice or anything like that. No, he was trying to call them back to himself. He's saying, I'm not going to allow your secular work to prosper if you're not going to come over here and build my temple, if you're not going to count me as a priority. He's calling them back into himself. He's not trying to destroy them. He's not hating them. No, he's loving them, and he's saying, I need you to return to me. It was the nation of Israel's duty to build the temple. All right. As Jews, they couldn't go about their worship without this temple. The high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies because there was no Holy of Holies. It hadn't been built. It was their obligation in the Word of God to build this temple, so in order so they could worship God the way He has intended them to, the way He has instructed them to. It was their duty as Jews to build this temple. It was also, the temple is a representation or a picture of God's very real presence in Israel. Amen. Now, I think we all understand that God is omnipresent, meaning He is everywhere at all times. But the thing is, this temple was a picture of His presence. So by them not building the temple, by them leaving the temple in neglect, they're saying, God, Your work and what You've called us to as a special people, wholly set apart for You, that's really not that important to us. Because here's the deal. God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out of the world to be a special people unto Himself. So that way they can be a witness to the world. He wanted them to be a holy people. But they were saying, God, that work, that set apart, that holiness that You've called us to, we'd rather build our homes. We'd rather go about our business rather than going about Your work. But you see, the same can apply to us today. Now, obviously, I realize we don't have a temple to build anymore. But let me ask you today, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading going in the mornings? But more importantly than just that, how's your service to God's work? Are you doing more than just reading your Bible and praying? Are you tithing to the church like you should? Are you helping and serving the church the way you ought to? Are you witnessing and telling others about the gospel? Because here's the thing, many of you go to work day after day and you meet coworkers, you talk to coworkers, or you have family members you talk to on a regular basis that I will never speak to. Friends, the Great Commission was given to you just as much as it was ever given to anyone behind this pulpit. It's not just for pastor. It's not just for Brother Gabe or anyone else. No, it's for all Christians. It is your Christian duty to show the world Christ. And if you're not doing that, then you're neglecting your spiritual life. You can go about your work and you can try to do all your secular work, but God's saying, no, I want you over here. Not that any of that's bad, but if you do all this to the neglect of that, it is sin. If we are getting our work done and our schoolwork and our personal needs and desires done, but we're not spending enough time working for and serving God, then how can we possibly expect His blessings to be upon us? If you would, please, notice with me verse number 2, and look at Israel looking for a convenient time. It says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." You see, the nation of Israel, they were looking for a convenient time to do the work. I think what's important to understand, in order to understand this text, is to understand the context or what has happened. Why did the nation stop building the temple to begin with? And you would see that if you were to read Ezra chapter 4, because in Ezra chapter 4, in that passage, we see that the local Samaritans and local Arabs didn't want another nation of Israel. They didn't want the Jews to come back and build the temple. So they sent a letter to the Persian king saying, "King, if you allow these Jews to come back into your land, they're going to rebel against you. They're going to attack you. They're not going to pay tribute. They're not going to serve you. They're going to become their own nation. You don't want that." So the Persian king gives them a letter of authority to stop them by force, to put the work to a halt. But what I want you to see in this passage is that regardless of the opposition, regardless of the adversaries they faced, God still wanted them to build the temple. Regardless of what difficulties may arise, He wanted them to complete His work. Friends, if you're here today and you're looking for a convenient time to start serving God, to start doing what you ought to do your due diligence as a Christian, friend, you're not going to find that convenient time. You're just going to run into adversary after adversary. We can see that in Paul's life. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, when he said, "For a great door, an effectual door, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, there is a context to this where he's telling the Corinthians, "Hey, I wish to come to you, I wish to come see you, but I'm held up here at Ephesus right now." And he says, there's a great door, meaning a great door of opportunity. He's saying, I have great opportunity for the Lord's work here. But notice this next verse. "And there are many adversaries." Folks, it's not convenient to give up your Saturday morning to go to visitation. It's not always going to be convenient to wake up early in the morning and read your Bible. It's not always going to be convenient to teach a Sunday school class or the nursery workers. Thank you so much for being there in the nursery. It keeps things orderly in here. It's not always going to be convenient to do that, though, right? If you're looking for that convenient time, it's not going to happen. And in fact, there will be adversaries. Don't be surprised when your boss calls you in early or wants you to work Sundays. It's just going to happen. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be difficulties that is trying to pull you away from the work of the Lord. Notice with me verses 3 and 4. And look how they never found a convenient time to build the temple, and yet they found plenty of time to build up their own houses. Verses 3 and 4 says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" I'm going to read the verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." That term sealed houses is an add-on to the house. It wasn't foundational. It wasn't required for them to have shelter. No, it was a luxury. It was a built upon. So he's saying, you're building your houses over here to great luxury. You're beautifying it. You're making it grand. While my temple is just a foundation. There's nothing else. It's in ruin. You're over here. This part of your life is going swell. This one's in ruin. Again, it is sin. He's saying, you need to get your priorities straight. You need to come back to me. Get serious about my work, not just your own. Verses 5 through 6, you can see that without God, everything comes to nothing. If you would go ahead and read that with me, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." It's like they're making money and it's all just falling out. Nothing's coming. I like how Matthew Henry said it. He said this, "They neglected the building of God's house and put that off that they might have time and money for their secular affairs. They desired to be excused from such an expensive piece of work under this pretense that they must provide for their families. Their children must have meat and portions too. And until they have got beforehand in the world, they cannot think of rebuilding the temple. Now that the punishment might answer to the sin, God by his providence kept them still behindhand." And notice this next verse, or next few words here. This is very important. He said, "And that poverty, which they thought to prevent by not building the temple, God brought upon them for not building it." Right. If there's something holding you back from serving God, you're thinking, well, I'm just going to lose so much time over here, or I'm going to lose money over here if I actually try to serve God the way I ought to, don't be surprised if everything else in your secular life just doesn't work out. Right. That's what's happening in this passage. We see that they have wrong priorities. We talked about at the beginning of this message, but again, God is judging the people because they have put their own lives and desires before that of God's work and glory in their lives. So let me ask you a question here today. Who is really at the center of your life? Is it you? Is it your family? Is it your career or your needs? Or is God really and truly at the center of your life? Because if you're not doing the work of God, if you're not doing your part to fulfill the Great Commission by telling others about Christ, if you're not giving your tithe, helping the church when able, or if you're not praying and reading your Bible like you should, then I must question whether God is truthfully at the center of your life. And then lastly, the part of the passage that we did not read, verses 12 through 15, if you were to read that, you would see a revival in the nation of Israel and God's word of encouragement. Amen. "After the people had heard the words of the Lord, they obeyed them and began working on the temple. Then God encouraged them, saying that he was with them." Well, I want you to notice, and we'll read it here in just a second, is it didn't take a year, didn't take a month, didn't take days. No, as soon as the nation of Israel saw their wrong, saw how they were having their priorities mixed up, when they got that corrected, when they came over here and they said, "Okay, God, we're building the temple. We're sorry. We'll do the work that you've called us to. We'll do our due diligence. We'll do our duty as Jews." God immediately blessed them. He immediately said, I am with you, saith the Lord. Notice that with me in verses 12 and 13. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. I close in this. Obey God's word and do his work, and he will be with you, saith the Lord. Do you want?